our lives, and all this flowing from His grace,
His unmerited and unearned grace. And as the book of Romans unfolds before us in our studies, I think Paul is laying down brick by brick the foundation for the rest of the book, for the foundation of the gospel of grace. And right off the bat, he spends time by calling out our hypocritical judging. As I said, this was a huge issue back then, and it's still a huge issue today. It not only hinders our walk with Christ, but even more serious, it hinders the case, the cause of Christ and the gospel of grace. So let's start by reading. Let's go ahead and read 17 through 24. And then we'll look at the verses there that I want to share with you all. So here we go. First of all, the opening verse, we didn't really talk about it last week, and I kind of want to just not to scare us, but to kind of put us really in a really humble ground here. So Romans 2:16, right before we start 17, it says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God is going to judge the secrets, our secrets.
According to whose gospel?
Paul.
That's a big key figure. Right? Well, people who don't even like to hear that he has a gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really not. But
okay. Well, I mean, it's tied in, but there is a distinction. There is a distinction. I've talked about this, and if you guys want to talk about it, you know, we can talk about it. But you're talking about judging, right? And here we spend time with, we see all these at the end of chapter one, what judgment, the things that people were doing, that they know that this is something that it's just not acceptable in God's eyes, to put it mildly, and yet. Some of the people not only know that these things are wrong, but they approve. Not only approve, they practice it. And so again, chapter 2 opens up with God calling, says, you men, you old man. Right? I know we discussed, was he talking to Gentiles or Jew? But as you see now, if he wasn't talking to the Jews in the first 16 verses, he's going to sure talk to them right now. Mm-hmm. The principle is the same. Okay, so... we're not teaching from a position of condemnation. It's more of awareness that we don't get caught up in this. And so, but anyway, again, the idea that God was going to judge our secrets. What do you think that means? What do you guys think that means? He's going to judge our secrets.
Well, he doesn't say he's going to condemn us for our secrets. He just says he's going to judge us.
Mm-hmm.
Some might personally take that, I just have to strive to be perfect. And others might take that, I need to do better and work to do mm-hmm. better, but not for my salvation, just because I'm supposed to put on the mind of Christ and follow mm-hmm. in his footsteps.
Yeah.
So yep. Some people in some countries beat themselves with whips to mm-hmm. walk that road or whatever. And
yeah.
It's like, okay, knock yourself out.
So I agree, yes. That's a good, definitely a good answer. But it definitely is not, I don't think it's there to scare us, right? Like, in other words, he's not going to, on the day of judgment, our secret sins. Okay, for instance, I talk secret sins. He's not going to go ahead and say, okay, here comes judgment, whether it's the judgment seat of Christ or the great right throne. He's not going to say, hey, by the way, you thought you were, you thought you were Mr. Goody Two Shoes or whatever. I'll let everybody know what you're really at in your heart. Mm-hmm. That's not the idea, right? That's not the idea, right? We're good with that. That's not what God is trying to say here. I think what He's trying to say in this area of judgment is that if we don't face the fact that we can be very unjust and unfair in judging and treating others when we don't repent. Then I think, and it's not just in this area, it could be in other areas, that I think I think there's a chance that, you know, as we face Christ, you know, it, as believers, that, I mean, he might bring it up. He might bring it up. Because no one's going to fool. First of all, no one's going to fool God, right? But a lot of people think they can fool others. I'm just mentioning it because, again, I want us to, as we read, you know, as we read the what we're going to cover today, that, you know, that we take this pretty serious. And that, you know, we want to be our conscience. We want to have our conscience as clear as possible. Again, not for perfection, because no one's going to be perfect, but that our motives are pure and our conscience clear. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but later on he says, you know, everybody has to give an account of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this all will come up.
Yeah. Again, it's serious enough to at least. You
know. Is it the secrets of it, like the motive?
Yeah.
The motive behind it?
Yeah.
Motive.
Yeah, I think our motives are going to be.
Done that nobody knows about.
Right.
Our motives?
Paul says in the judgment seat of Christ, each one may receive what is due to him for the thing done while in the body, whether good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if we confess. Mm-hmm. And if we repent, then, you know, we have the promise of God that our sins are never, they're going to be cast away, right? As the east is far from the west. So he's not going to bring up those things that we have confessed and turned away from. See, this is why repentance is so important. And again, maybe we should speak more about it.
Deal with it now or deal with it later?
Yeah.
Or at least acknowledge it.
I mean,
Jesus brought it out first.
Yeah. We've been given this amazing gift, right? Of salvation by grace. Cost Christ his life. He spilled his blood. He took our shame, our guilt. Again, we can never earn it. We can never do enough, but that, man, our lives would reflect a little bit of seriousness and fear when it comes to that. In other words, what God doesn't want us to do is to live flippantly, mm-hmm. you know? And that's why sometimes when you see these preachers and they're just, you know, so... Just again, too easy going, too flippant. I can't think of another word for flippant? Just kind of like non-serious about these things, you know, like, well, these are things that you have to be serious about. And again,
their work's topic focused usually and it kind of falls into flippant, but they seem to focus on a thing that appeals to the senses
mm-hmm.
of those following them.
Yeah. And so again, in the area of judging, we're going to see that this is very serious in God's eyes. It was a serious issue back then, and it's serious now. So let's go ahead and read. Okay, so there in verse 17 in Romans chapter 2, indeed you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore, sounds like how it started earlier in the first verse in chapter 2, right? You therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. as it is written. So it kind of seems like just reading the first 15 verses, 16 verses of chapter 2. But yeah. This time the focus is on Israel. It's on the Jews. Go ahead, John. You were going to say something? Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay, remember before you said that some people say that the first part of chapter 2 he's talking about the Jews? Because if you look at this and look at the first part, they're very similar.
Yeah.
So I think some people, they say, okay, well, he's talking about the Jews here. It must be talking about the Jews in the first part,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, some people take that view, yeah.
I think mm-hmm. Some people take that view.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the first part, he's talking about everybody. And then in the second part, he's concentrating on the Jews with the kind of things that the Jews would do. Because
mm-hmm.
You know, they have the law and they're the guides,
mm-hmm.
The ones who know.
Yes, because to them was given the law, right? The written law, right. The Mosaic law. And I think they thought that that they could do no wrong because, hey, we are the chosen people of God. We have the law specifically given to us. We're the ones. We're the ones. And look what it says, verse 17 through 20. They thought they knew his will, that they were a guide to the blind, a light to those in darkness, and a teacher and an instructor. Right?
Actually, that's what they were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go in the Old Testament, it says, you know, you're a light to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So.
But what happened? Their hypocrisy was exposed. Or rather, Paul is calling out their hypocrisy. Because they were, like he said,
yeah,
they don't smoke, but you were smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drink, but don't drink. I don't know if you guys, and I used to hear this from my father, from my, you know, elderly, my, you know, those that are, you know, my authority figures, you know, they would say, don't do as I do as I say, but don't do as I do. And I remember as a kid thinking, that doesn't make sense, you know? And meanwhile, they were saying, you know, don't do these things. But they were doing it, and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
It's interesting, though, because up at the time until they're saying all these things, the Holy Spirit is not active in... There's not a chance for the Holy Spirit to be active in people individually up until time after Jesus comes. So on one hand, these people are being condemned or having their hypocrisy pointed out to them, but, you know... If you're a person who grew up and you weren't saved and then you got saved, you can say, wow, I can see the difference in myself before I was saved and after. You could have told me anything you wanted to and I couldn't change. But now that I have the Holy Spirit, I'm able to overcome. And that, you know, a quote, that you could look at that from that angle.
Yes, yes.
It's not a justification and a full defense for it. And again, that could be why Jesus said, hey, I come for you guys first. We're going to make the change with you. And from you, we're going to impart the change to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be ready and willing to go along with me once
mm-hmm.
you follow through on this.
And this is why I said earlier, I think Paul is really laying down the foundation for grace. Because it's only by grace later through Christ and the Holy Spirit that these things we can look back on and say, oh, man, thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for doing for me what I could never do. And so this area of judging is a big deal. It was a big, like I said, issue back then, and it's still an issue today. How do I know? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4.
I think
4.
Even though Paul, you know, he obviously wanted to point out the hypocrisy of his own people, the Jews, but I think he did it because he loved them.
Yes, that's why, yeah.
Because look, in remember in 9:1, he talks about that what he says, and let me read it before I mess it up.
Oh, Romans 9:1. Romans.
I tell
9,
the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Keep on, that I have great, yes, sorrow and continued grief in his heart, that he could wish that he himself would be accursed.
Yes.
Well, for my countrymen, according to the flesh.
Yes. And reading on, look, because he knew. And this relates to what we're reading here, that this is why, you know, that they were a guide, right? An instructor, because to them, look what it says, who are Israelites, continuing there, verse 4 in chapter 9, Romans, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, yeah, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. So there's something special about, and it should be special about being Jewish, being an Israelite. I was talking with my brother-in-law. Did you guys ever see the movie, I might have shared this before, the Munich? The Steven Spielberg movie, Munich?
I've heard of it.
I recommend you see it.
You mentioned it a few weeks ago.
Well, so I mentioned it here in the class or Sunday.
Somebody,
yeah, that's the one that the Jews, as he goes, we should have,
yes,
known.
Yes. Oh, I mentioned it because I was talking to my brother-in-law. Senior moment, I guess. But, yeah, there was a part in the movie where, you know, in Munich, the Munich Olympics, you know what happened when the Palestinian terrorists went in there, killed Jews. So I don't know how many people they killed, but I forgot. Was it 12? Yeah. And it was some athletes and so forth. And then, so the movie is told, the movie is about what happens after and how Israel, through the Mossad, I think that's their CIA version, how they gather some assassins. They contract assassins to go after who was behind it. And so it was just mayhem, you know, bombing and murdering. Anyway, there's a part where one of them starts to feel, you know, guilty and bad about this. And he says, you know, there was a time that Jewish people, we were the righteous ones. Mm. We were the ones that were supposed to be. And he kind of, you know, shares his heart like, we're no different. We're no different. And as a people of God, from the early beginnings of Israel, you know, even before, to now as the church, God wants us, that there should be this distinction about us. Again, not so much that, you know, if we don't do this, or we're going to be, you know, we're going to be condemned, or we're going to lose our salvation, or God is going to judge us. You know, it's not so much that, as, man, God wants us to understand our calling, to realize how precious it is to be a follower of Christ. And again, not talking about being perfect, holy roller, none of that, but you know that we would take this to heart. So here again, this issue was something that was happened back then, and here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy, sorry, says here, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, I guess he's talking about now, right? Some will depart from their faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with an iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. So you see, the heartbeat is love. And God is warning Timothy so that he can warn us as to be careful because of some of these. So we read doctrine of demons, deceiving spirits, which ultimately they're all lies, but they're lies spoken in hypocrisy.
If one departs from the faith, does that mean they never were truly saved, but were going, you know, they were just there, and then I don't, were they, does that mean they're departing from the faith of others? They didn't
I think
part of the faith?
Well,
because then you
if
back
I'm
going to
be
classic debate.
if I'm gonna be
dogmatic?
No, not dogmatic. No, like optimistic. I would think that I like how it says to depart from the faith. In other words, from the teaching, from the faith of following the word of God. And so some, and it's happened. I have brothers and sisters. I don't doubt their salvation, but
you can only depart from something if you were a part of it. Does that make sense?
Well, I think a classic one that I see now is when they talk about Charles Stanley's son, and you go and watch.
Oh, Andy Stanley,
Andy Stanley, and it's like, yeah. Man, that guy. Is he like a poster child for a departer of the faith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so yeah.
Therefore, he never really truly was saved.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's why I don't know.
I want to go there.
Yeah, I don't
well,
know.
I'm supposed to judge.
Well, I know God might go there.
I'm not going to condemn the guy. It's just say something's not right.
That's a very good example, because I've seen a couple of the videos, and you know, Charles Stanley was pretty solid. Yeah, and his son comes along, and he seemed to be doing good for a while, but then he just went off the rails, and so.
And yet, maybe he'll get back on the rail, and we'll all forget about it. But yet, Satan will keep reminding people. But he said this. But he said that.
Right. So like,
I think he's even preaching salvation by works, right?
Yeah.
So then, okay. So then, you have someone like him and others. That all you may have been following them for a while, you may like him, you may really, you know, you may really, he may be, you know, you may be coming to church here, but for a lot of people, you know, he's your pastor. You're gonna rely on everything he says and does, and then he comes out and brings these teachings that you're like, wait, hold on a second.
I mean, I think
other people are trying to tell you, listen to.
Should
I mention? Okay, I'm only mentioning this because
the guy up in Carolina who just got in trouble 2 years back with the girl in the church, and you know, I would hear him on the radio sometimes, and something just never seemed right. Morrison or what? Garrison? What's that guy's name?
He's Lawson?
The big guy from the Carolinas, and he's Morris, something Morris.
Oh, the guy from. Oh, I thought he was from Texas.
Oh, maybe he's from Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Then he's like, now he's completely, I'm out of church, so I'm not going to do this anymore.
Well, there was somebody recently that called out, he really went after him. Somebody that was caught up in an adultery. He was caught up.
Rabbi Zacharias was the classic presenter of gospel stuff.
Yeah.
And he justified what he did.
So like, mm-hmm.
Men have their desires, and I had to take care of myself.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy's like 75 years old or something.
And
but all that happened after he died, so he was.
Well, that's when everybody found out about it.
Right, but he was never able to. We don't know if he ever repented of that, or I don't know. So, Al, would that be considered false gospel?
What's that?
What?
Departing from the faith.
Yeah,
either or like for instance.
Well, false gospel.
Andy
Stanley
is preaching.
Well, he's still perpetuating a whole new thing, different from even what he originally said.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Rabbi Zacharias always stuck to that. It was just a sideline.
No, that was.
But Andy's still saying he's a believer. You know, he's not saying he's an atheist or.
Right. No.
He's still. You know.
Is that
he might be teaching, or he probably is teaching false doctrine, but. I wouldn't go past. I wouldn't say that he's not a believer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of believers that teach false doctrine.
We have so many adjectives that can have so many different meanings.
But if he was not a believer, that's kind of what you would expect him to do, to go off the track.
Yeah.
So it could very well be that he is not a believer.
Maybe. That's up to the Lord, I think.
Yeah.
But here, when he says, according to my gospel, could he have used that term, my gospel, because at that time there were other so-called gospels going around, messages?
Sure.
That were,
absolutely.
You wanted to be sure, this is the gospel entrusted to me.
Yes.
Christ.
Right. And this is why he is, when he's laying this out to the church at Rome,
mm-hmm.
and he's laying out the gospel, he's laying it out to believers. So, when you think of gospel, right, you always, I think the immediate thought that comes to mind is reaching those that don't know Christ and sharing what Christ has done for them. so that they could be saved and they could get right with God.
And it's different talking to those people than talking to somebody who's been churched in some fashion and then they're already stuck in certain ways.
Yeah, yeah. But he's also, the gospel is for us, for what we're doing today, so that we can stay close to him, stay in line with the truth, and not carried away with hypocrisy, among other things. So one group that really seemed to really, I mean, when I'm reading this stuff, I just thought, wow, this reminds me of the Pharisees in Jesus' days. And so let's look, we're not going to read all of chapter 23, but let's go look at Matthew 23, and we're going to see how serious this issue is and how Jesus addresses this issue and the Pharisees and the scribes.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah. First. So here we are. Jesus is talking to these. These are supposed to be the leaders. These were the people that were supposed to show the way to God again. Even though in Romans 2, he's speaking in general to all Jewish.
All men. Yeah.
But it seems to me he has a special, he's talking to those mainly who are in authority, you know, or think they're an authority. And so here, look at this, in 23 verses 1 through 5, Matthew says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that you observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves would not move with one of their fingers, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. And then let's go to verse 25. Woe to you, scribes, and woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of what? Hypocrisy and lawlessness. Mm-mm. Wow. And so, these were people in a position. These were the leaders of the Israelites. But yet what happened? They were teaching one thing, but doing another. And then in Romans, we see that this issue is something that's still taking place. And it's still taking place today. So the tragedy and the sadness, and this is why the woes are so serious, where they're pronounced on these Pharisees, is because, what's the result? What's so damaging about hypocrisy? It's, again, not only hindering.
It makes the Lord
look bad. And so when people say they don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites, well, I jokingly said, well, you can invite them. But I understand. I had a family member that was an in-your-face believer and told me, you know, tried to preach to me. I didn't want to hear anything because I saw them say one thing and then go and do another. I was sharing with my wife earlier that one of my first experiences, and again, I'm not saying to condemn him, this is my experience with them. I was 17 years old, working in Air Florida, working in an office, and they're passing around a birthday card. People were signing it. I signed a birthday. Harmless, it's signing a birthday card. So I pass it, I pass it to a coworker beside, very nice lady. And with a smile, she goes, we don't sign birthday card, we don't believe in that. I thought she was joking. Come on,
Because you had no experience.
Nothing, I'm 17 years old, I don't know anything about Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm 17 years old, I'm just starting off in the world, I thought, well, that's weird. I was only 17, but I knew enough to know that there's so much more serious problems in the world than God looking at you signing a birthday card. And then to make matters worse, you don't want to sign birthday cards or participate. But boy, when they pass out the birthday cake, you shouldn't have a problem eating a birthday. It was repulsive to me. So again, not an excuse, because it's not an excuse, but I understand, people don't want to know anything about, and it can happen in.
Yeah, that's real. There's a saying, though, it's called church hurt.
Yeah.
If you've been hurt by a church or what have you, and then it's hard
to go back. Well-intentioned churches, but again, read a little bit of it. You impose these burdens on men and women and children, and yet, do we need to go far? Look at TV, TBN. Look at these televangelists. It's disgraceful.
Not every one of them, though.
No, not every one of them. Yeah. No. But most of them, and it's. Isn't this great? I don't know how else to say.
Somebody would get in there and create the system.
Jesus. I heard a comedian say this once. He says Jesus had to walk at night because he was barefooted, and yet you guys driving around in Bentleys or jets to promote come on, it just doesn't.
To me, it would have been so cool if instead of Ananias and Sapphira getting zapped, expanding on the story of the sold property, if a couple of the high priests in the temple had gotten zapped when they had shown their hypocrisy, would have been a much more expository story to show some of that happening. And it never happened. And oftentimes today, you know these guys and they're in the pulpit and you've just heard these stories. And until some woman comes forward or somebody really pushes it, no one ever stands up to challenge them and say, they're going to carry you out of here now because you're a liar. And that would be, maybe when the two witnesses come, some of that will kind of happen. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen, it seems. And again, maybe that's because there's so much Holy Spirit with loving and forgiving, traveling around amongst us now, that it's just not going to go down that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
That would have been an interesting
position. There's maybe more than a few areas where you thought, I would have liked this story to go this way or go that way, but.
He has. It is still interesting to see those guys who dance with snakes, and every now and then one pops up in the news and the snake got him.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, I really believe that, I don't know how else to say this, I think he wants all of us to grow up, regardless. 5 years old, 15, 20. Nobody questions these things.
Yeah, we're not to look at others for salvation. I'm looking at Jesus.
My brother-in-law, once in a while, he'll send me these videos of these, these people doing these theatrics. I don't know how else to say it in church. And it's we were looking at one the other day, right? With the lady has Donald Trump. Yeah. And you're looking at this person saying and doing these things, and you say, wow, that's bad. You have thousands of people following them.
No, I was shocked. I'm thinking
thousands, maybe millions.
Something's realized.
She has, you know how they say you have the ear of the king? She has Trump's ear. She's part of, you know, Trump has this. So, you know, this group of people, this commission, they've got to be special.
Well, they certainly had faith in themselves to move up the ladder.
Yeah.
To get to the point.
But yet.
No matter what comes their way.
We can't look at that. We got to look at what they're saying, what they're doing. That doesn't line up with what God is saying, he's showing us something's off. And again, in the area of hypocrisy, why is hypocrisy so damaging? And we're going to see here now. So in your notes, I put the hypocrisy result. Let's read the last four verses here in Romans chapter 2. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even though with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So, all of a sudden, whoa.
Yeah, really beating on the men on this one. Worse than women.
Circumcision. Yeah. Circumcision's mentioned. So what's the big deal about circumcision?
All this other stuff.
Well, we saw in Acts that circumcision was one of those areas where, as the church, mainly Jewish converts and Gentile believers, as they're starting to come together. There were some people from the Jewish side of believers that said, hey, wait a minute, hold on a second, this is all great. We're all one happy family, but we still got it. Got to hold on.
You bumped into a group in the modern era with this focus? Or you're talking about the Bible?
No, I'm talking about the Bible. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can bring up other things, but back then this was this was a big, big deal.
Yeah.
And so one of the problems of hypocrisy that it tends to lead to religiosity.
Legalism.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. And so, what's the result? Why is this so important? Why is Paul mentioning and taking time and wanting us to really get this? Because, like everything else,
you want to be in the club.
What's that?
You want to be in the club.
Yeah. But it can happen to us. It can happen to us. And it's happening. And it still happens. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, so we can see what happened if we don't know. Again, getting the big picture, seeing the full, clear, big picture of God's amazing grace. Let's see what happened here. And we've discussed this before. This is not unfamiliar territory. The danger and the harm of where hypocrisy leads. So here we go, Galatians chapter 2. Then after 14 years, this is Paul, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and it communicated to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. And yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows no personal favoritism to no man. We read that earlier in Romans 2, right? God shows, there's no partiality with God. Mm-hmm. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision. They desired only that we should remember the poor, which was the very thing I was also eager to do. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision and the rest of the Jews who played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles, not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh should be justified. Okay, we can stop there. So, see what happened? Circumcision? They were bragging on circumcision. Burgers, that's it. This is what shows us. This is why we are the people of God, and this is our kind of like their badge of honor. And Paul is saying, hey, no. You're hypocrites. You're basing, you're boasting in the law, and he will expound, you know, as we spend again, the next, it looks like we're gonna spend some time in Romans. He will elaborate on that. But this is what tends to happen with hypocrisy. It tends to lead towards religiosity. And somehow it seems they seem to feed off each other. Now Deuteronomy, I put there in your notes, but Deuteronomy, God said that he promised that he would circumcise the heart. So this is nothing new. This is something that, again, all these outward rituals, as we read earlier with the Pharisees, the focus is on outward. So much of today is outward, what you're doing, how you look. But it's not dealing with the condition of the heart. So in Galatians 5, before we read our closing verse. You want to go there? Let's go.
No.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Can you read it? Go ahead. Go ahead.
And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live.
Thank you. There you go. That you may live.
It would have been nice if there was a little verse in between that says you will no longer have to do a physical circumcision once this gets played out. Nowhere in the Old Testament did that ever come up. It always comes by outer impartation when the word's being brought to the Gentiles, but never telling the Jew, you no longer have to do this.
Well, that's opening up another. Ultimately,
I understand why they still do it, yeah. Why that's the focus. I'm just saying it would be interesting if the word would have brought out and said, here's the new, under the new covenant, you no longer have to do that, especially mm-hmm. for you men, because you're always all in charge of everything all the time anyway, so you guys, you're out of it. Once they were out of that, boy, then there's not really much you can pick on anybody.
Again, God has his purpose for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't.
It's always fun if I was to look at what could be, what if, could, I'm just, have, would have, but.
It's just that when you look back, again, you know.
And we get to see
you do these rituals, you do these things that are required of the law, but what is behind the law? What was the purpose?
Right, right.
And the purpose was God wanted. God has always been a God of hearts. This is ultimately what he wants, right? out of the issues of the heart, of the issues of the of life spring from the heart of man.
God has always been more. It was important for him to be from the heart, not physical stuff. From the beginning.
He's always aiming for a heart.
It's like they say, like when it comes to salvation, some people say, oh yeah, in the Old Testament, you had to follow the law to be saved. No, God from the beginning, it was always by his, you know, by grace since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. Through faith, but grace through faith. So that's, and he'll elaborate. I mean, you're going to see how he explains it.
God's more worried about what's in your heart
than
what you do physical.
Well, look, he just said it. He said it here. It's not one inward. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees were guilty of what? How they dressed, how they talked, what they did.
All of those go back to pride.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fall in the garden.
Yeah.
Carries all the way through.
I said this before. I shared this before. I had this when I was working in Gables and delivering mail. There was an older gentleman, Spanish gentleman. I tried to share, and you know, we'd speak, and I tried to share my faith. And boy, he was like, he didn't want to know anything about it, and he didn't think that nobody needs to tell you how to be good. You're good on it. It reminded a lot of, I don't want to get personal, a family member. No one needs to tell you. You should know yourself. You know, you are your, you know, almost like saying you are your own God, and you decide what's right and what's wrong. And he just couldn't see. He couldn't see that. No, but listen, we're born in sin. No. You can be a good person. I can be a good person. I don't need the Bible to tell me how to be a person and how to be right. But I know how to be a good person. I'm like, okay. And one day, I'm delivering mail, and he's there. He had like 3 or 4 buildings on my route, and some guy wanted a ride. And it wasn't like a street person. It seemed like a nice young guy, or you know, wanted a ride. And he said, he asked the Spanish guy for a ride, and I guess the Spanish guy was like, oh, I better show the mailman here. I gotta put my money where my. I've been telling him I'm a nice guy. And let me. You know, it was almost like
you were watching him.
Yeah, like it was kind of like it's almost like God put that scenario there. And he's like, yeah, I'll take you. But you better be over here in 5 minutes, because if you're not there, I'm going to leave. And, you know, and I was like, they're conditioned to be nice. You see what I mean? Yeah, you say you're good, but that's what being. And the guy kind of looked like, oh, okay, I guess I better. You know, if I want to ride, you weren't doing it out of the goodness of your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of these people are like that.
It's like the guy who's stopped at the corner and somebody's asking for money. When you're by yourself, you don't give them anything. But when somebody's sitting next to you, you give them money.
Yeah.
Because you want the other person to see that you're whatever. But that's hypocrisy.
But yeah, he wants the inside. He wants the heart. God is always right. The promise, if you search me with your heart, you'll find me. That's where you'll find it. The kingdom of heaven is near you. What does he mean it's near you? Yeah, Christ was physically when he said that, but he's going to be here. This is where you find the kingdom. So let's read Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, that's the problem with a lot of these, with legalism, right? And self-righteousness and religiosity. It makes you, it's a form of bondage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, legalism expands from the law that's already written on our hearts. Mm. And it's easy to build a religion on those things because that's what they're built from. That's why, when the other day I was at Whole Foods and I came out and there was a woman there with two little kids, and she was trying to get money. And so I bought her some eggs in the store and, I don't know, yogurt or something for the kids. And I knelt down and I said, you know, you're here, you look clean and you got these two kids. Do you have a husband? And she says, yeah, I have a husband. Where is he? You know, he's over, he's with the other two kids. And I said, well, you speak English, obviously. Where are you from? So she was talking and I was asking her some questions. So while I was sitting there talking to her, of course, my daughter ran away. She didn't want to be near me when I talked to her. And other, like you said, while I was talking, other people would come up and kept dropping money for her while I talked to her.
Mm. Trying to make it look bad.
Trying to make me look bad?
Yeah, because you weren't giving her anything.
No, I actually gave her a tract because she did read English, and I asked her some questions, and then I left it with one of the $1 million, and she was all excited, and the little kid was excited too. I don't know what they do with it, but at least the seed is planted there, and it's entertaining to look at when they read it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's right what you said. You kind of reach out and you talk to one of these. Now there's other street people there, and you can tell they're, I don't know, talking to demons or something, because they're raising their hands and yelling at the sky, and their hairs are all in knots and but whatever. I don't know how to relate to them.
And you know, to be again trying to be understanding and fair. I mean, there's a, you know, legalism and religiosity, you know, usually it's based on certain rules. It's easy to follow rules, right?
Yeah.
There's, I can see the appeal to that. This is all you got to do is this, you know. We're looking at this this program on this Mormon, on, you know, this lady that she was some on the internet, and she had this family podcast, and, you know, she presented her family like this, very lovely, you know, outward, and they were Mormons, you know, they were Mormons, and, you know, to be a Mormon, you have to go and do a mission, you have to go with somebody, and, you know, there's certain rules, and it's kind of easy to just say, okay, I just got to do these things, and that's it, and I don't have to worry about any of this. That's the problem.
Right.
Just follow it, whether it's 4 or 5 or 10.
Which is like Catholicism, the sacraments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good example. You must have been a Catholic, right? No, but you know, I'm serious. Catholics, just go to Mass, do confession, confirmation, just do that. You're good.
Right. What about, and that's when you get into the questions. Yeah. Are you really a good person?
Yeah. What about reading this? What about, once in a while you do. But dude, this is what really matters. You know, the speaking in tongues. They can't go past that. You got to speak in tongues. You don't speak in tongues. They're convinced.
So I can have an affair with your daughter as long as I speak in tongues? Am I okay?
It's insane. It's and on it goes.
Yeah.
But here we go. As I read verse 2 here in Galatians, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, again, the issue was, this was a big issue back then. To think today, what can we say today? Is baptism, maybe? A lot of there's some churches that, you know, if you don't get baptized, you can't get saved. And I've heard stories where, you know, somebody's dying, and they'll send a minister and take water. And can you imagine that? And splash a person in water because they want to make sure you go. Come on. So here Paul says, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, here we go. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. So faith, working faith is that outpouring of love that has been given to us freely through Christ. Again, flowing from the heart. And so what's the answer? How do we keep ourselves from getting caught with hypocrisy that's so prevalent? Well, the closing verse will help us a little bit. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is wisdom that's from God. How do you get wisdom from God? How do you get wisdom? That's it. What an amazing God we serve. Mm-hmm. He doesn't tell you to climb a mountain. He doesn't tell you to go on a pilgrimage. You know, just ask him. So the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. So Paul, as we come to the close of Romans chapter 2, now Paul is going to really, I guess, amp it up, as you can say, right? Chapter 3, I guess, John, you'll start chapter 3, and then he's going to really, really get into what purpose does the law, what place does the law have in the place of a believer, and I can't wait. Exciting stuff. Okay, I went over a little bit, but nobody's in a rush to go home. If anybody wants to share it, any comments, questions?
Got a question.
Yes, sir.
It says, if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision.
I'm sorry, where you're at? Back in Romans?
Romans 2, okay. Verse 25. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. If you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So does a person, does a Jew who transgresses the law become uncircumcised, in effect, does he then get kicked out of the covenant? And circumcision is a sign of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So then would he no longer be in the covenant? And conversely, the next verse, so if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? So then does he gain all the benefits of the Abrahamic covenant?
Well,
which is what it seems like it says.
Again, I think Paul is just really laying down the foundation of how.
Okay. Because people use these verses and say the church is Israel.
I see. Okay, I see where you're going.
Your circumcision. So your uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law.
Well,
his uncircumcision would be regarded as a circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
You become a Jew.
Yeah.
And it's not the Jew. Later on, it says it's not the Jew. It's not the person who's circumcised outwardly. It's a person who is circumcised in the heart. That is the true Jew,
mm-hmm.
which means we are all circumcised in the heart, so we are all true Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So we are Israel.
I mean, going along that reasoning, yeah, I can see people believing that, but again, this is why I say, can't put all the pieces together. That's one piece that looks, whoa, that looks like we might go, but I mean, I'm not going to get into it. You know,
but the key is nobody keeps the law.
Yeah.
Nobody. Keeps the law.
I think chapter 3,
I'm one person.
I don't think he means keeping the law. I think he means that Job, Noah, they were said to be righteous men. Mm-hmm. So they're keeping the law.
But they were righteous men because they kept the law?
No, they were just men of, they looked at creation and said, wow, there is a God. Somebody made this. And it was imparted to them to be of faith because they didn't have.
There are righteous, the Bible says there are righteous people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
not by keeping the law.
But just by,
I think by believing God's promises.
God's there.
Like Noah, why was he called a righteous man? Why was Noah called a righteous man?
Because he was different from everybody else who disobeyed. There was so much wickedness, he was not like that. He followed the Lord.
I mean, Lot was also called righteous.
But
not, yeah. Not what's called righteous, but he, I mean, was like the opposite of Abraham.
Yeah. But I would say Noah was,
I don't think it was talking about the righteousness that comes from Christ.
Right.
No, I don't believe
that. I think Noah was called righteous because he believed what God promised him, what he was going to do.
Right.
That's the reason why he's righteous.
Okay.
In my opinion.
But then there are Jews who do not keep the law. Do they then get, do they're no longer circumcised? Or they're not considered circumcised? Are they out of the covenant?
Well, what was the purpose?
That means everybody's out of the covenant.
Yeah, so what's the purpose,
right?
What is the purpose of the covenant?
That means everybody's out of the covenant because
you don't believe anybody's in the Abrahamic covenant anymore. Well, Israel's no longer a special nation.
Israel
is just people.
Yeah.
Which is what some people say. Yeah. They're just people.
Yeah.
But I think, we're going to see in chapter 3, he gets into this, I think, a little bit more of what you were talking about. 3 and then chapter 4, and then actually throughout the whole book of Romans. Mm-hmm. But, we know that ultimately righteousness with God is just taking him at his word. So Noah, in his time, he had the word of God that told him, that warned him was coming.
Yeah.
And so he was known as a preacher of righteousness, and nobody believed him.
Yeah.
Look at Jeremiah. Nobody believed him.
That'll
look at us.
Right.
That's a good homework assignment.
Nobody believes.
To just get into righteousness and why. Like, just dig in and find verses.
But that's what chapter 3 is all. One of my favorite verses is from chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. But hopefully it'll fall on me to cover those verses.
Yeah, no, I'll do it purposely.
I love those. I love those verses. But if I can give you a preview, let's look at chapter 3, verse 9 and 10.
3, 9, and 10.
Yeah, just to give you a preview, and then we'll end with these verses. A preview for what's coming. Romans. Yeah, it says, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin.
Right.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Boom. No other way to get stand right with God apart from Christ. Faith in Christ. That's it.
And even
that's the short answer. I mean, we can and people do. But the short answer is believe in God, believe in his word, and that's it, and grow in it, and learn, and enjoy the blessings that come with it, and look forward to the enormous blessings that are going to come after. Okay, we'll end with a prayer. Any prayer requests to pray? Okay. Father, thank you again for your mercy, for your grace, the privilege of being able to meet with brothers and sisters and to read your word and to hear from one another and to learn from one another and to grow in this amazing life of faith you've called us to, Lord. And we're thankful again for your word, Lord, that we can go to and remove any doubt, remove concerns, and just be filled with hope, be filled with mercy and goodness, Lord. And all this by way of grace. We love you. We praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Speaking of Noah, Noah was before the law. There was no law.
Right.
And Abraham too?
Yeah.
There was no formal law, but there was law because there were commands. Well, if there was no law, then why was God upset with the people there? Because they were not breaking the law. They weren't doing anything wrong.
But their hearts automatically went towards pure evilness in their...
Like law, what do we mean like law?
The law that's written in their hearts, their conscience, they wanted nothing to do with it. And Noah still did want something to do with it. And he wanted to follow what he knew was right. He didn't quite get a full grip on it.
But you have to, I mean, again, I think, you know, God knows the heart. And you put yourself, try to put yourself in during Noah's times, and you see this guy building an ark. How long did it take him to build an ark? 100 years? 150
years.
150 years. I mean, you would have.
His sons are helping him too.
And you know, I'm sure he lived in a way, his lifestyle was in line with his words, and you knew he was, there was something about him. He was trying to honor God. And I mean, this is where our witness comes in, you know, that again, to come back to the class, you know, hypocrisy, you know, none of us are ever gonna walk that perfect walk. But if our words and our actions are close, what more can you show? You know, what more can you show? Especially when it really matters, you know? And, you know, what we say, how we judge, when we condemn, that's why you have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. And the sad thing is, you know, you're the only Bible. What's that saying? You're the only Bible people might ever read. You might be it. I mean, if you really look at that, that's pretty. You know, that's quite a burden to carry. You know, but it's also a privilege. It's a privilege. You know, there's rewards. There's blessings that come with living for Christ and serving Him and suffering for Him. Nobody wants to suffer. That's another area, you know. With these, nobody wants to suffer. We're called to suffer. That doesn't apply to marriage, so don't worry. All right, guys. Well, Romans chapter 3. We'll get really into it with the whole law and circumcision and keeping the law and. Replacement theology, that's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
They say the church has...
Church has replaced Israel.
Replaced Israel.
Well, no, they don't say it's replaced how is it that Israel. We are...
We're the new Israel. That's what they say.
No, it's a continuation of Israel.
Yeah, a lot of people say they're a continuation of Israel.
That the church is the new Israel.
That the church is a continuation of Israel.
Okay.
I think there's a difference by saying replacing it.
The church is Israel under the new covenant.
Right.
And where the Gentiles grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes more sense to me.
All the prophet, all the promises in the Old Testament that goes to Israel come to us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas dispensationalists say, no, the promises to Israel do not come to us. Because we are not Israel.
From wrath, right?
Yeah.
Not from wrath.
But the promises, all the promises of Israel.
We can see him setting it up here.
Yeah. Are fulfilled in Christ.
I've seen it now.
Or through Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
What are you
in some way or another. So that's why coming to Christ.
To be saved
Christ.
Around the
God.
Right. All the blessings.
That's probably going to come.
Are taken care of.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel
is that they may be saved. Yeah.
But what's salvation from what? From the wrath.
From the wrath that's coming.
She knows that we.
That's already here.
Yes.
It's
already.
Yeah, it's already here.
So, but a lot of people think that it's being saved from going. Yeah, I brought those from Lydia.
Oh, say thank you for that.
I will. Mm-hmm.
You got the bag for this, John, or you bought it like that?
I gave it to him.
Oh, okay. Then that's okay.
You can have the bag because you need it more than me.
No, we can put it.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're going to put them all in your pocket.
What'd you find?
Because there's only two I can carry.
For Mike's handout on some of the New Covenant theology.
I think I got this.
Yeah. I remember you printed
it. Yeah, I printed it out. Yeah.
You don't need it? You don't need the bag?
No. Jeff can handle
it. Are you sure? Oh, okay. Yep. All right, thanks.
I only have two. You got what? Five?
You need me to help you take that, then?
No, he's more New Covenant theology, which is not covenant theology.
Which is not covenant theology?
It's not covenant theology. It's
So Feli, have you tried any of those Sudokus?
Pardon?
Have you tried any of those Sudoku puzzles?
The what?
The little book?
Sudokus?
The little book?
No, I've tried to get her to do it.
It took me a year, couple of years.
We won't have a day that goes by that.
Yeah.
You won't be like, let's go, let's do one right now.
Yeah. Because I do the Sudokus every day.
Yeah.
Oh, you do them? You like them?
Yeah.
I look at it like mental, like going to the gym.
Mental exercise, yeah.
It's great. It keeps you pretty sharp.
No, but it's so satisfying when you finish, right?
Mm-hmm.